You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers, viewers, and listeners, to a brand new edition of the Pewter Report podcast, energized by Celsius, the official energy drink of PewterReport.com and the Pewter Report podcast. Want to say hello to all the Pewter people that are filing in. Maybe you have a day off so you can watch live because it is President's Day, and happy President's Day out there to everybody. We got a fun show to get into to start the week. It's nice to be back with everybody, including SR for today's show, as we talk about the contract negotiation and situation with former, hopefully current, Bucks quarterback Baker Mayfield. And how much is Baker Mayfield worth? What is going to come down to the finite details for this contract? Got a lot to talk about that. Some new coaching hirings as well for the Bucks, and plenty of other stuff from the comments of the Pewter people. I'm your host, Matt Matera. Joined with me is the face that runs the place at PewterReport.com. Back on the show, it's SR Scott Reynolds. Scott, how are we doing on this Monday afternoon?
Doing good. It's always great to be back on a Monday because Whether it's a holiday or not, it always feels like a holiday because we get to do roll call at 4:20. Not now, but at 4:20, we'll do roll call. Matt's going to go on a rant today, and I'm going to be putting up the locations from where you're listening and watching today's podcast from. And so it's always great to see which Floridians, Continental Americans, and which international Buccaneer fans are watching today's show. And if you are watching this in a podcast format, in an archive, we invite you to maybe join us next Monday for the live show. But there won't be a show next Monday because we're going to be traveling to the NFL Scouting Combine, which comes up a week from today. So we're going to have shows today as planned. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 4 o'clock. And then we will have an adjusted schedule next week with shows definitely on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, probably Friday, live from Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine, where we'll be talking to future Buccaneers during the interview sessions, trying to figure out which Buccaneers which draft prospects will become Buccaneers from those interviews. We do a pretty good job of nailing Bucs' best bets and future Buccaneers in our draft coverage. And the combine and those interviews play a big role in that.
Yes, they do. And I can pretty much all but guarantee the Bucks will draft someone that is at the combine. I know when we go to the Senior Bowl, it's not a guarantee that there's going to be someone that participated in the Senior Bowl that ends up going to Tampa Bay. A lot of the times it is the case, but the combine, obviously, even bigger names, the Caleb Williams of the world, who, spoiler, won't be going to the Buccaneers unless a drastic trade happens or anything like that. But there's always a ton of news and buzz and smoke screens a little bit as well at the combine, which makes it super fun. We get to talk to Todd Bowles for the first time since the end of the season. We get to talk to Jason Light as well. So that's one of the big reasons, especially, that we like to go there. So a lot of news will be picking up for the Buccaneers, especially next week at the Combine, along with all of the other 32 teams in the league. Yeah. But the news never stops for the Buccaneers, which I think is a good thing, whether it's Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, or even with the coaching staff. The Bucs hired some new people. Thomas McGahee, the new special teams coach, has been around the block, most notably with the New York Giants, won a Super Bowl with the Giants way back in the day, defeating Tom Brady. And the Patriots, was with the Jets the year before Todd Bowles took over as the Jets coach. So he's been to a number of different places along the way, especially in a special teams role as well. And the latest move, which came through on Saturday, was that the Bucs hired a wide receivers coach as well. They hired Brian McClendon, who was coaching at the University of Georgia. And Scott, what I think makes this pick or this signing very interesting is, once again, the Bucs are going to the college route, but unlike some of their other hirings, whether it was Liam Cohen or the offensive line coach or things of that nature, there isn't a connection between the new wide receivers coach, Brian McClendon, and Liam Cohen. And we've seen that with some of the other hirings of Cohen, either worked with an assistant at Kentucky or with the Rams or somewhere along the way.
Right.
Because of Brian McClendon, he's really only been at – he's been to a couple of other places, but his main bag has really been at Georgia. He was there from 2007 to 2015. He's had a number of different jobs, assistant head coach, wide receivers coach, passing game coordinator, went to South Carolina as well, went to Oregon. So he's been with some big, big programs. And if you want to put a little bit of a connection or connect the dots type of thing, Todd Bowles' son, Troy, plays at the University of Georgia. Yeah. So, you know, Todd Bowles has his ear to the ground a little bit more toward the University of Georgia Bulldogs and maybe some of the other schools out there. So
the interesting thing about McClendon, I'm doing a story on this for tomorrow, but here's kind of some nuggets that'll kind of point you in the direction I'm heading. And this is a really intriguing hire. And sometimes the Buccaneers in the past, they've gone straight to the college ranks to hire guys. I'm going to throw out a couple of names: Rod Marinelli, Mike Tomlin, right? These were guys that didn't have any NFL coaching experience that ended up being pretty good, so good they actually were head coaches in the league after being position coaches in Tampa Bay, coordinators elsewhere, and then head coaches. So the thing with McClendon is he actually has some head coaching experience. He was the interim head coach for a brief minute at Georgia and also Oregon, which is one of his coaching stops as well. So he's got some leadership abilities. He's young. He's 40 years old. So he's really kind of an intriguing name. I'm pretty excited about this after doing some digging. With Brian McClendon, he started off as a receiver at Georgia. That's his alma mater. Mm. And he coached running backs there. I'm going to throw out a couple names of some players that you might have heard of that he's coached. Isaiah Crowell, Todd Gurley, Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, right? Those are some pretty good Georgia Bulldogs running backs. A lot of those guys had success in the league. So he coached the Bulldogs running backs. And then he's also coached receivers. You might have heard of a couple of these guys at South Carolina: Brian Edwards, Debo Samuel. Sure. And most notably, he was the recruiter and he coached the freshman year of Xavier Leggett, the South Carolina receiver that we saw at the Senior Bowl, who's draft eligible. When he went to Oregon, he coached a wide receiver that is getting some potential late first round buzz, could be an option for the Buccaneers, Troy Franklin. Mm-hmm. And then finishing up at Georgia these last couple of years, he's got a ton of familiarity with a lot of Bulldogs coming out in this year's draft, including Ladd McConkey, a wide receiver who he coached personally, but he was also there, of course, for Brock Bowers, both running backs, Dejon Edwards and Kendall Milton, center Cedric Van Praan from Georgia. So a lot of interesting college connections, much like Liam Cohen, Matt. I think that having a guy from college can really help out in the draft process too, having some of that intimate knowledge, not just with the players on South Carolina and Oregon and Georgia that he's been on, but also players that he has coached against.
Yeah, because we're getting to the point, you know, all the games have been played, the Senior Bowl is done, and yes, there will be a ton of measurements and things to look at with the combine, whether it's the 40-yard dash, the cone shuttle, the bench press, all that good stuff. But from now up until the draft in April, and there are pro days as well, but a lot of what is going to make the difference between certain players, whether it's your fringe first rounder or second rounder or second round versus third round, are these in-person meetings. And it's not always just to like snuff out the BS of what someone is saying, but you really try to learn and understand and even connect with someone. I mean, I go back to, and maybe this isn't the best example for how it ended up, but I go back to when the Bucks brought in Devin White on one of their top 30 visits, and just the connection that Bruce Arians spoke about and Devin White spoke about. And they said these in different rooms too. It wasn't like they were right next to each other being like, oh yes, I agree. I agree. Like, no, they were separately saying how much they enjoyed each other's company. I think with bringing in some of these college coaches or guys that can just connect with people that they were just working with at the collegiate level can really help find more of an understanding of, hey, this could be a great player, but he doesn't fit our system, or he doesn't fit like how we view our offense, or certain things of that nature. So I think that's really important. Right. The other hiring that went about, it was assistant offensive line coach, another Brian in the mix, Brian Picucci, who was the quality control coach with the Kentucky Wildcats. So there's your Liam Cohen connection as well. So a lot of similarities with Liam Cohen, a lot of collegiate experience as well. And it's funny, going back to McClendon real quick, the new wide receivers coach. In years past, if you were an assistant coach looking to get upgraded to a full-time position coach, you'd be scratching and clawing and banging down the door of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to say, I want to be a wide receivers coach because I have Mike Evans, I have Chris Godwin, and another wealth of talent. Yeah. Now, depending on what happens with Mike Evans, if he's not back, you might be like, thank you, but no, thank you. But on the flip side, if Mike does come back, everyone's going to be pounding on the door once again. Yeah. So a slight gamble, still an upgrade, and you get to work in the NFL, so not really a huge gamble. But, man, that job's going to look that much better if Mike Evans is able to return into
the there's no doubt about it. And for McClendon, he's done a great job everywhere he's gone in developing NFL-caliber wide receivers at the college level. I'm sure that was – that was certainly something that really piqued the Bucs' interest, is this guy can really develop talent. And so for guys like Trey Palmer that had some flashes during his rookie season, right, it's important to develop him because there is a chance Mike doesn't come back. We all think that he will. I believe that he's done enough and showed his importance to this offense that doesn't want to take a huge step back with his departure. And certainly that would have some negative connotations for contract talks with Baker Mayfield if Mike Evans is not going to be in the picture. But having said that, Chris Godwin is entering a contract year. Yes. He might not return, right? So it's critical to keep those weapons open, especially if you're going to throw out 30, 35, 27, whatever that number is for Baker Mayfield on a yearly basis. It's important to stockpile some weapons around him. And you've got to have a guy at that wide receivers coaching position that can take young players and develop them quickly. We've talked a lot about, we had an edge rusher, Chris Braswell from Alabama, in our first mock draft, in our second mock draft. We've had Graham Barton, the Duke interior offensive lineman, Matt, in the third one. We might put a wide receiver in there because Jason Light has drafted a wide receiver in the first round in Mike Evans. He has drafted a wide receiver in Chris Godwin in the third round. Mm-hmm. But you might want to take the best player available, and that player might be a guy Troy Franklin, if he's there from Oregon. He's one of those guys, Brian Thomas from LSU. If he happens to fall a little bit, he could be there. Keon Coleman from Florida State. There's going to be some really good top-notch receivers at the end of the first round that you look at and say, we've re-signed Mike for 3 years, but he'll be 33 in 3 years.
Yeah.
So let's get another young, dynamic, first-round starting caliber wide receiver into the mix just to bolster that position in case Chris Godwin doesn't return after 2024.
Absolutely, Scott. I think you're spot on in a number of areas. Before we even get to, like, Mike Evans, whether or not he's back, in terms of just development with McClendon, that whole wide receiver room after Mike and Chris is extremely young. Like you said, Trey Palmer going into year two, Rakim Jarrett going into year two, and the Bucs coaching staff is very high on him. He had that hamstring injury at the end of the season. Devin Tompkins going into year three. That's kind of like your main group of guys. Like, I know there was David Moore, but let's face it, David Moore is going to be a one contract year after one contract year type of guy for the rest of his career. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying, if you're looking at the future of the Buccaneers, David Moore is kind of like an upgraded, better version of what Rashad Perryman was over the past couple of years. So it's important, especially with Trey Palmer, because I do think Trey Palmer, if everything were to fit the right way and he reaches his ceiling, I do think Trey Palmer could be a wide receiver, a below average wide receiver one, but a pretty good like wide receiver two in this Bucs offense or just in an offense in general. But you know, you're talking about a lot of things that have to fall into place. So that's why I bring it back to Evans, whether he re-signs or not. Like I just have round two zeroed into my head of like Bucs should take a wide receiver here if they're planning on taking a wide receiver at all, because we've seen them, you know, Palmer was a later round pick a couple of years ago, Jalen Darden, that was like a fifth, sixth round type of pick. I'm kind of done with that. I think either go big with the wide receiver in an early round or go home.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing with Evans as well. We'll get to Baker Mayfield in a minute because we got this super chat from Paul, aka Florida Dreamhouse. If Mike Evans does not re-sign, I think that changes so much of the draft approach for the Bucs going into this year's draft, because I think wide receiver could be round one. I know we love the centers and all that stuff, but I think wide receiver might have to be round one if Mike Evans doesn't return.
And you know what, Matt? Yeah. It might be a thing where they double down on wide receivers. This is a rich, deep draft for wide receivers. And if the Bucs don't re-sign Mike Evans and you have Chris Godwin, who is 27 years old, going to be 28 on the last year of his deal, and he's not that point producer, he's not the touchdown guy that Mike is, drafting a receiver in round one, I totally agree, that becomes a very real option. But then all that does is that replaces Mike Evans. And, and then you're hoping that Trey Palmer can be better than he was last year at year three. What happens if Chris Godwin gets hurt? All right. Now, all of a sudden, Palmer's number two. He was number three, right? You've got to continue to stockpile that receiver room with talent. And, you know, Devin Tompkins, he is what he is. He's a gadget player. I just think that this could be the year. If Evans doesn't return, we think he's going to. But if he doesn't, I agree. First round wide receiver, not out of the question. And then maybe going back into day three and getting another receiver just to hedge your bets a little bit, stockpile the position, add some competition for Palmer and for Tompkins.
Yeah.
And, and take it from there.
No, I'm with you. I think even with Mike re-signing, the Bucs wide receiver room is very top heavy. And at least they have weapons elsewhere, you know, with Rashad White as a running back, but as a receiver as well. It's not like it was a couple of years ago, like where it's if something happens to Mike and Chris, the Bucs are done and they won't be able to move the ball. Most infamously, that game against the Packers against Aaron Rodgers when Mike was suspended and Chris Godwin was hurt and the Bucs couldn't move the ball at all.
Right.
Russell
Gage averaged about 8 yards a catch.
Yeah. And Russell Gage, I mean, I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but Russell Gage isn't in the picture for the
Bucs.
He's
going to get cut,
for next season. So, I do trust – I mean, I trust Dave Canales with it, but I am putting my faith into Liam Cohen now that he will be able to get the best out of some of these other wide receivers for the traits that they bring to this team. But, again, the Bucs are better with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin together as a duo. Yeah, there's that man, Liam Cohen, that's going to be in charge of that. And Liam Cohen's only been with the Bucs for a little bit now. So since he's been the offensive coordinator – I think Liam Cohen has only been able to see or witness about three or four roll calls on the Pewter Report podcast on Monday. And it is right about that time. It is roll call. We do it at 4:20. Sometimes we're occasionally late on a Monday show, but that's quite all right, because it just means we're deep into conversation about your favorite team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But if you're new to the show, we love doing roll call every single Monday. What we do is one of us goes on a diatribe about the Buccaneers, something going on with the NFL. I'll be taking the reins on that today. And while I'm talking about your favorite team, the Buccaneers, Scott is going to be going through the chats in the comment and putting up on the screen where you guys are watching the show from. So whether you're watching from Tampa, Florida, Dayton, Ohio, I don't know why that popped into my head, but it did. Throw it on the screen, and just like Kieran started off with now, we'll start doing roll call. So, as you saw, the topic today was how much is Baker Mayfield worth? What should the Bucs pay him? What other teams might go and pay to Baker Mayfield? So I did want to talk about Baker. This is a little bit of a different discussion. So There was a recent article that came out on the 33rd team on that website. It's by Derek Klassen, and he says he's a film analyst. And I'm not coming after Derek Klassen at all, just kind of commenting and observing on his article where he ranked the top 32 quarterbacks in the NFL. And I just want to put in again that he's a film analyst, so he's looking at it from the criteria is not exactly sure if it's just film, is it what they're supposed to be next season, or basing off what he saw from this year. There's not a ton of detail in terms of that. Anyway, so he doesn't rank him for all 32 teams. Patrick Mahomes is one. That makes sense. Just won the Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson, two. Won the MVP. On and on and on. So, of course, Bucs fans want to know, where is Baker Mayfield? Baker Mayfield is ranked 20th out of 32 teams in the NFL, 32 quarterbacks in the NFL. That is one ahead of Tua, which I found a little bit surprising as well. Tua ahead of Brock Purdy at 18. Jalen Hurts was at 17. Now, Baker Mayfield is the best ranked NFC South quarterback in all of this. Baker was at 20. Two spots later at 22 is Derek Carr. Coming in at 25 is Bryce Young. And last in the NFC South, but not certainly least, is Desmond Ridder of the Falcons. And Bailey Zappi was 32 with the Patriots. Now, I've never met Derek before, who wrote this article. I'm not here to rip him to shreds or anything like that. But I just want to say that I respectively disagree with at least the Bucs portion of this list. Baker Mayfield at 20. If you wanted to make a case, I would listen to it. But what I can't let slide by here is that Anthony Richardson of the Indianapolis Colts, who was a rookie, who played, what, five games for the Colts last season, is at 16. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, everyone knows I'm a Rodgers guy, is at 15. Aaron Rodgers played four snaps for the New York Jets last season before he got injured and was done for the year. Kirk Cousins at 13. Obviously played most of the season before he had an Achilles injury. Geno Smith at 12. And then Kyler Murray at 11. I just can't sit here and look at Baker Mayfield at 20. And Kyler Murray, who came back in November and December, and say that all those guys that I just named, except for maybe Geno Smith and Kirk Cousins, those guys are ranked better than Baker Mayfield. I mean, I get it. If you want to look at the film and say, like, the potential of Aaron Rodgers next season is probably better than Baker Mayfield. But you got to factor in last season at least a little bit. Rodgers didn't play at all. Anthony Richardson, whether you look at him as someone that played last year or his potential next season, it's almost lunacy to say that Anthony Richardson should be ranked higher than Baker Mayfield. Are we forgetting the year that Baker Mayfield had? He threw for over 4,000 yards in a contract year where he needed to have a great season. He threw for 28 touchdowns to just 10 interceptions. He got absolutely robbed, I dare say, of the Comeback Player of the Year award, which, if you're going to give it to DeMar Hamlin, fine, I get it.
Yeah.
But to give it to Joe Flacco after five good games, isn't the NFL all about peaks and valleys and ups and downs?
Right.
Well, Flacco came in at the right time because he started five damn games. And yes, he played pretty well in them. Well, look what happened when he played the Houston Texans. Look what happened when Baker Mayfield played against the Houston Texans. I mean, I get it. You're in the moment, but I think a lot of people were prisoners of the moment at the time, because if you took Baker Mayfield's five best games last season and went up against the five that Joe Flacco had, I think a lot of people would still be taking Baker Mayfield. So Baker Mayfield, even after a great season, even after a fair amount of accolades, still getting disrespected in certain places, like getting ranked 20th among the quarterbacks when half of them barely even played double-digit games last season. So I wanted to give Baker Mayfield a shout-out for that, because I respect the content. I respect the article. I just have some gripes about the placement of Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, no, I think that's well said. And it's tough, right, because the Buccaneers have exactly 1 year's worth of data to make a decision on a multi-year deal. And you can't take away what Baker Mayfield did, but –
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We had one of our commenters here, Malcolm Hawthorne, I'll put it back on there. I think it's likely 2023 was the best year Baker Mayfield will ever have. That could be.
Yeah.
That's the thing. There's no crystal ball, right? Just like when the Buccaneers were almost forced into re-signing Doug Martin because they had just fired Lovie Smith. Dirk Koetter was being promoted from offensive coordinator head coach. And what happened that year that Lovie Smith, or I should say the year before Lovie Smith got fired, his last year in Tampa, Doug Martin had 1,400 yards rushing, was a huge part of the offense, and went to the Pro Bowl for the second time. So what was Jason Light going to do? Not re-sign Doug Martin?
Yeah.
And promote Dirk Koetter and say, hey, welcome to the head coaching job. We're taking one of your big weapons that helped get you this job, and we're letting him go in free agency, right? So
yeah,
it didn't work out. Doug Martin never sniffed 1,000 yards again. And it ultimately was not a good re-signing. It was a bad move.
Yeah.
But you don't know that when you're making that deal. You're crossing your fingers and you're hoping that you're going to be getting more years like what you're just getting paid on. And so that's what the Buccaneers have to go with. If you look at Baker Mayfield's career, you've got that 2020 season. You know, he's had a couple of seasons that are good. He's had a couple of seasons that are not. He's had kind of a mercurial career. That's why he's on his fourth team in 6 years. So it's one of those things too, Matt, where if you don't re-sign Baker Mayfield, who's the quarterback?
Trash time.
Yeah, it's trash time.
By default, it's trash time.
Yeah, or you're drafting a rookie quarterback and you're having to trade a bunch of draft capital to get up to actually get a good one probably. There's no guarantee that any of those guys will be there. This could be one of those years where you've got the top three picks and it is Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels. And then you've got guys like Penix and Nix and McCarthy that just by virtue of them being quarterbacks, it's an overdrafted, overvalued, overpaid position. You could see all six of those guys go in the top 25. And guess where the Bucs pick? 26. So It there's no guarantees, and that's why it's kind of like it's better to, you know, what's the saying, to do business with the devil you know than the devil you don't.
Exactly.
We're not saying Baker Mayfield's a devil, but he's got a devilish smile.
He does.
He's got a devil may care attitude playing quarterback, and
Texas fans thinks he's the devil just based off college rivalries.
Exactly, with the horns down for Texas. Hopefully that's the case tonight. My Kansas State Wildcats.
Yes, big game. By a
thread.
Big game for them.
Probably destined for the NIT this year, but the big game tonight, I digress. So let's get into some Baker Mayfield. Let's talk about the man of the hour here. But before we do that, a couple things. First of all, let's set the table for a couple of shows we have coming up this week. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock, should Antoine Winfield get franchised? The franchise tag designation period opens tomorrow. The Buccaneers may or may not use the franchise tag on Winfield. They may or may not use the franchise tag on him tomorrow. They may wait a little bit. But Matt and I will talk about that tomorrow. So that is Tuesday's show right here live at 4 o'clock on Peter Report TV, the YouTube home of the Peter Report podcast. And then on Wednesday, our show will be which Bucs will be cap casualties. We've talked about some, Shaq Barrett being one of those, but there might be some others. So stay tuned for Wednesday's show at 4 o'clock. Actually, there will be probably at least three big names will be on this list. Shaq Barrett probably be one of those. So that's Wednesday's show live at 4 o'clock. But let's talk about the official energy drink, Matt, of Peter Report, and that is Celsius.
That's right, Scott. I was going to say before, there's no easy picks for the Bucs this year, whether it's the draft, whether or not to re-sign Baker Mayfield. But luckily, everybody watching the show and anyone that's a football fan, they know they have an easy pick when it comes to what energy drink to choose. Now, the tough pick after that is, you know you're going with Celsius, but what about the flavors? Because there's so many awesome flavors of Celsius, and you have to check out their newest line of products, the Celsius Essentials, which have 270 milligrams of caffeine to help you live fit. They provide you an unbeatable combination of ingredients that support your physical and cognitive performance. You can check out the new Celsius Essentials and get their Blue Crush or their Dragonberry at 7-Elevens nationwide. You can get the three-flavor variety pack over at Walmart. They're coming out to Amazon soon. So whether it's the Celsius Essentials, maybe it's one of the old-school flavors like a sparkling watermelon, cucumber lime, something like that, make sure you go to the Celsius store locator where you can punch in your address. It'll tell you the closest location where you could pick one up. Doesn't matter where you are in the United States. You can go get one at your local health and fitness store, 7-Eleven, or your bodega.
Bodega.
How's it going? It's good to hear that. And once you keep going to your bodega and you know that you love Celsius, but you want to get more because you don't want to keep making several trips to the bodega. You just want to be one and done. You can get it in bulk. Celsius, of course, I'm talking about. Have it sent to your place of residence whenever you want after you go to Amazon and do the subscribe and save. Get it sent to your residence. You're in charge. You're the captain. Up to you. Just make sure you're drinking Celsius energy drinks, the official energy drink of the Pewter Report podcast.
Yep. Let's talk about Baker Mayfield and what he's possibly worth here, because we've seen some different numbers out there in terms of how much he's going to get paid. And one thing that's interesting about free agency is the beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Yes, it
is. And the Buccaneers over the last couple of years have allowed some of their top free agents to test the market to find out what their number is before the Buccaneers re-sign them. And of course, that has fans on pins and needles, right? We're talking about Carlton Davis 2 years ago. Last year was Jamel Dean and Lavonte David. And for all three of those players, they hit the market and found it to be not as robust as they were expecting.
Correct.
And as a result, the Buccaneers said, okay, well, you didn't get what you thought you were going to get, but we're going to pay you a little bit less than that if you come back. And that's exactly what happened. And so Carlton Davis, Jamel Dean, Lavonte David all re-signed for less than they were hoping for. And that ended up saving the Buccaneers some money in the short term, in the long run with these deals. So that might be what happens with Mike Evans, with Baker Mayfield, et cetera. We think that Antoine Winfield Jr. will probably get franchised because that cap number is $17 million, where if you sign him to a contract extension, he's going to reset the market at $20 million. So you can save $3 million right now by just franchising Winfield, seeing what happens. You kind of safeguard yourself. If there's a catastrophic injury, you're not tied to Winfield for the long term. You can always revisit that and assign him to an extension, either before the franchise tag expires, which is later in the summer. I think it's July. So you have a window to get a deal done, even if you franchise him, or if he plays on that, like we saw Shaq Barrett do, then you have another opportunity to sign into a long-term extension, and we'll see if he plays as good this year as he did last year. But
yeah,
there are some fans out there that are like gripping right now because the Buccaneers are going to take on about $14.5 million worth of dead cap money because they didn't re-sign Evans and didn't re-sign Mayfield.
Yeah.
And don't worry about that. There's a couple of factors here that I think are going to ease your mind a little bit. First of all, Mike Greenberg rolled over $3 million in unused cap money from 2023 into this year. So the Buccaneers basically have $3 million worth of cap room already than they would have had otherwise because they used the unused cap money, put it in this year. Number two, the Buccaneers can always go to players that have huge base salaries. We're talking $18.5 million for Chris Godwin. I think it's $15.5 million for Vita Vea. Jamel Dean's got $12 million. You can take that base salary, turn it into a roster bonus, create a bunch of cap room that way to absorb that. Third thing is the salary cap is supposed to go up to about $245 to $250 million. So there's going to be an increase.
That's big.
So the other thing too is this is dead money that has to be accounted for. And even if the Buccaneers re-signed Mike Evans yesterday or Baker Mayfield yesterday, and it didn't result in dead cap money this year, from those previous contracts, right? In other words, they could absorb that dead cap money and kick the can down the road. The Buccaneers are at a point where they don't want to kick the can down the road. They want to... They've done that. Right, exactly. They took their lumps last year to the tune of almost $80 million in cap money, a dead cap money. They're not going to have nearly as much dead cap money this year, but there's going to be at least, what, $11.8 million for Ryan Jensen. There's going to be, we've already seen they've taken $14.5 million with these two players. Lavonte David's going to have dead cap money. Greg Gaines, Antoine Winfield. And this is dead cap money from voidable years that allowed the Buccaneers to squeeze these players under their expiring contracts and have a minimal cap hit in the first year of that contract, which for a player like Greg Gaines, who re-signed for 1 year, or Lavonte David, that was to have a lower 2023 cap hit and have part of that cap hit this year. So I think Mike Greenberg, Jason Leiter saying, this is kind of part two of we're going to take our salary cap lumps this year. It's not going to be nearly as much because they have room to sign all these free agents, their own, and add a couple more value free agents, like I talked about in SR's Fab 5 on Friday. But what this is going to do is by taking some of these lumps now and absorbing some of this dead cap money, if there is a new deal for Mike Evans, if there is a new deal for Baker Mayfield, you don't have to take that extra money that would have been dead cap room this year and kick it down the road and add it to future salary cap years where it's going to show up and negatively impact you sooner or later. They would rather do it sooner than later. So it has nothing to do with the fact the Buccaneers, they don't want to not re-sign these players. They do. They want to re-sign them. But they want to do the right deal, not a hasty deal, just because of this. Mike Greenberg isn't fazed one bit. They can create $14.5 million worth of cap space today to, you know, sign players, re-sign players, whatever. So remember, they had $80 million in dead cap money last year. $14.5 million, not nearly as much. So don't worry about that. This is not an indication that they're not going to re-sign Mike or Baker. And speaking of Baker, Matt, let's take a look at what it might cost to re-sign Baker Mayfield. Let's start with Pro Football Focus, where they have a projection of 3 years, $30 million. That's $50 million in guaranteed money. That's $90 million total. Now, the interesting thing about this particular number here is it's $5 million more than Geno Smith made in his re-signing with the Seattle Seahawks. And I think this is the floor, though, for Baker Mayfield, Matt. I think this might be the low water mark because there are a lot of teams that might be interested in Baker Mayfield. There's really only Kirk Cousins, Ryan Tannehill, and Baker Mayfield in terms of veteran quarterbacks. So what are some of the teams out there that could get involved in the bidding to possibly raise the ante for Baker Mayfield, Matt?
Yeah, I think they're – and I want to choose my words cautiously because this is definitely – a bit of content that can go up on PeterReport.com in the near future by the time free agency gets around here. But with that said, I feel like as every single day goes by, there's another team that you can kind of convince yourself could be in the woodwork to be in the Baker Mayfield sweepstakes. Now, some of the obvious ones that we've talked about before, right in the Bucs' backyard in the NFC South, the Atlanta Falcons. That seems like a fit just in terms of the Falcons look pretty much ready to go as a competitor, except for the fact that they don't have a quarterback. So you bring in Baker Mayfield, you put him with all the weapons that they have in Atlanta. I think that's pretty big. Obviously the Minnesota thing makes sense where, I mean, Baker Mayfield just worked with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. You don't think he could work with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, you know, what they did. I mean, I know Jefferson was injured last year, but a healthy Justin Jefferson is the best wide receiver in the league. It makes sense for the Vikings to get a younger quarterback that at least proved himself younger than Kirk Cousins and not coming off of a serious injury like Kirk Cousins is. Jeremy Fowler from ESPN had a really great point about a team such as the New England Patriots that could kind of swoop in and take Baker Mayfield. And I know everyone's thinking, why the heck would the Patriots do that? Well, you got to look at it in a couple different ways. I know a lot of people have them penciled in to get Jaden Daniels, the third quarterback off the board, because the Patriots would have the third pick. But the Patriots offense is a mess, and not just a quarterback is going to fix it. Like, they need
right.
What was the big knock on Bill Belichick, who I know isn't there anymore? He never drafted wide receivers. His last Pro Bowl offensive player was Matthew Slater, who's technically a wide receiver, but he would go right. for special teams. So,
yeah.
And Mac Jones was the other Pro Bowl offensive player.
N'Keal Harry was a wide receiver they drafted, I think, in the first round out of Arizona State. Terrible draft pick, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Horrible. So, yeah, you're right. He didn't have any weapons, and that's a big reason why Tom Brady wanted out, because when Gronk retired, he had Julian Edelman, old man Edelman, to throw to, and that was it.
Yeah, so in this article, Fowler has Marvin Harrison Jr. going to the Patriots, and then that sets himself up to go get a quarterback such as Baker Mayfield. And again, if it was Belichick as GM, you go, he would never pay for a quarterback like that. He doesn't like paying money.
Right.
But it's a new regime in the front office of the Patriots, and there's actually a number of guys that were there in Cleveland when they drafted Mayfield with the first overall pick a couple of seasons ago. So you put that into the mix, I think that's big. I wouldn't rule out the Pittsburgh Steelers either. Mm-hmm. I mean, all they have is Kenny Pickett under contract. He's on a rookie deal. So that's not financially strapping them to commit long-term to a guy such as Kenny Pickett.
Sure.
Baker in Pittsburgh, gritty guy, kind of embodies that type of city.
I agree.
Kind of makes sense too. So,
And Matt, to stop you there in Pittsburgh, you bring up a great point with the Steelers. Mike Tomlin, kind of on the hot seat a little bit, right? And he knows that a quarterback a steady quarterback, a good quarterback will kind of calm the waters there a little bit, right? So Pittsburgh, New England, some periphery teams, another AFC team I think that's possible is the Denver Broncos, right?
Yes, Denver, absolutely.
Russell Wilson, Sean Payton had a lot of success with the 6-foot quarterback and Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. So I think those are three AFC teams that could be in the mix. If Kirk Cousins, let's say he goes to Atlanta,
then
the Minnesota Vikings need a quarterback, right? So the Vikings, they saw what Baker Mayfield could do firsthand in week one. So there's another team. Throw in the Falcons in the mix. Obviously,
it's either like Kirk Cousins. Washington, too. Like Washington, I don't think I could – well, they got a pretty high pick, so they would probably go quarterback.
Well, yeah, but again, Matt, to your point – what if you use that pick on a Marvin Harrison Jr. instead and get a proven quarterback? Because let's face it, most of the time when you draft a rookie quarterback, they're coach killers. You're essentially drafting a quarterback for the next head coach, right? That's usually how it happens. So if that's the case, Washington, by the way, has, I think, $70 million worth of cap space, the largest cap space of any team.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a team that's going to overpay for a quarterback, might be the Washington Commodes. So Washington, Denver, Atlanta, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, New England. I mean, if there are six suitors, not including Tampa Bay, it could get ridiculous for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
So that is the lay of the land in terms of the teams that could be interested and they could drive up the price. Let's get to a couple super chats here.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about some other value spots about what, some contract projections for Baker Mayfield.
Absolutely. A couple of great super chats. Richie P, I got my eye on you as well. We'll get to that though. Thanks to Paul, AKA Florida Dreamhouse, for the $5 super chat. He says Baker Mayfield deserves a better deal than Geno Smith. The Daniel Jones contract was stupid. So why do the Bucs need to be stupid? $35 million per year on a 5-year deal, 2 guaranteed, is fair. Paul, I totally get what you're saying, but you got to look at it from Baker Mayfield's agent sort of perspective. Yes, what the Giants did was stupid. But if you're Baker Mayfield's agent, you go, all right, well, Geno got this, but I'm seeing Daniel Jones got that. Excuse my pit stain. We want that Daniel Jones money. And Baker's agent is going to go, it's not our fault that the Giants put out all that money for Daniel Jones. And the other thing to look at is every year, most of the players, I'm not going to say every single player, but most of the players, they want, and you see it especially with quarterback and wide receiver, even if it's $1 more, they want to be the highest paid player at their position. Oh, this guy just set the new record as the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. Now, with Baker, he's not going to get paid the highest paid quarterback in the league. But there is this new market of quarterbacks who revived their career and had a career season. Now there's a market with that, with Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield's the newest addition to that market. Baker's going to want to at least be the leader in that type of market. As crazy as that sounds as to what I'm saying, there will be a comparison now until the next quarter. Like, Jameis Winston may be the next quarterback that we go, oh, well, Geno Smith did it, Baker Mayfield did it. If Jameis Winston can do it too, then he can get a quote-unquote Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield type of contract down the road. Obviously, I'm talking about hypothetical here, but Baker's still going to want to get paid more than Geno Smith, and why not shoot for the moon with that Daniel Jones money?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a fair point. Speaking of Daniel Jones, let's go to SpotTrack. You know, I prefer over the cap. .com in terms of that, and I'm not knocking SpotTrack necessarily, but SpotTrack does a pretty good job with their market analysis. So
yes,
the deal that they have, and I like how they lay it out here. They really kind of spell it out. And for you listening at home on the audio version of the podcast, we have a graphic up here that says $27.1 million average annual salary. That's $3 million less than Pro Football Focus projects.
Correct.
Brad Spielberg. And I think that's a more likely number than this 27.1. But here's the logic of how they got to this. They ranked Baker Mayfield as, I guess, 18th in terms of where he would rank with these contracts. Daniel Jones, they have that there. And so what you do is you take not just Daniel Jones with his $40 million, but you average the top four players, right? So you get Daniel Jones at $40 million. Derek Carr, 37.5. You have Geno Smith's deal in there at $25 million. And then Jimmy Garoppolo just below $25 million. And the average of that is $32.7 million, right? So that's the average. And then what they do is they look at that and they adjust the contract to Baker Mayfield's age, which is 28, right? If you look at Daniel Jones, when he signed that deal, he was 25, right? And so Derek Carr signed his at 31. So you take in the average age of when those deals were signed, and you kind of depreciate that. They call it linear regression. In other words, you're not paying a 25-year-old, right, on a four-year deal where he's going to be 29 years old when this deal expires. Baker Mayfield is already 29 years old, right? So that's the methodology there and how they get to that. Here's the second part of that graphic. Then what they do is they look at the kind of the depreciation of the statistics. They look at the statistics, and then they've got some median prime percent changes where they kind of like downgrade you a little bit based upon the age. And then that's how they calculate Baker Mayfield's value. So they look at what the average of the top four is. They kind of depreciate that contract a little bit given Baker's age. And that's how they came up with the $27 million. So right or wrong, we'll see. I think it's going to be at least $30 million. And with as many potential suitors as there could be, that market could go sky high, and we'll see. We'll see if loyalty matters to Baker Mayfield, if wanting to play with Mike and Chris in a comfortable situation matters, or if, hey, this is probably my last big contract and I'm going to set myself up. I had to take $4 million this year with incentives. I got up to seven, but it was about $13 million below the average starting quarterback salary of about.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
$20 million. So I lost money this past year. I got to make up for that. And I lost reportedly $12 million in an investment scheme. So if you're Baker Mayfield, you might be thinking, I'm essentially about, call it $12 million and 30. I'm about $25 million behind. Mm. in my earnings and where I should be. So do I want to take 30, 31, 29 million to play in Tampa? Or, man, I got this team offering me Daniel Jones money at $40 million a year, which is $9 or $10 million more than the Bucs are offering. Do I want to take that?
To Baker's credit, he was slinging that auto parts company or whatever he was during the Super Bowl. So hopefully he's getting some more ads there. And, the last thing I'll say is it's really tough in my gut to agree to pay Baker Mayfield $40 million a season, as good as he was last year. And anything over 3 years, I'm like, I agree, I don't love that. But
I agree.
Again, what are you going to do if there's six other teams going for him?
Hold on one second. I think he made a great point.
Yeah.
The $3 million, given his age and given his up and down kind of mercurial career, I think 3 years with maybe the first year for sure, but maybe the first year and a half guaranteed.
Yeah.
Right. Give yourself an out if you're the Buccaneers of maybe you make the mistake that you made with Doug Martin back in the day where you're paying for that big year that he had.
Just in case.
And you can hit the eject button. Exactly. Well said, Matt.
Yeah, because you look at those other contracts, they're all four-year deals, five-year deals, and it's like, Derek Carr, no, don't want that. Right. Jones, no, don't want that.
Yeah.
There hasn't, except for the Geno one, there hasn't really, like the list that you just had, there wasn't too many where I was like, oh, yeah, like that worked out.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, we'll continue to talk about this more as the weeks go on. Dominic Tarantino, thank you for the $10 super chat, says, if Mike Evans leaves the Bucs, do you guys think it is even worth re-signing Baker? Really good question. It seems Mike, the Bucs are just setting up Baker to fail and end up having buyer's remorse. I think this is a great question. I think I would still sign Baker Mayfield because if you don't re-sign Baker and you lose Mike, you're just waving the white flag and saying we're done. And again, it's kind of like last year. Todd Bowles is not just going to be like, yeah, you know what? Why don't we just rebuild for a season and then we'll be good to go? Because he won't be there. Liam Cohen, I mean, again, within 1 minute of his introductory press conference, he was like, yeah, I'm here because of Baker Mayfield.
Right.
And so I don't think Liam Cohen wants that either. I do still think there is value if Mike doesn't resign, and that would be devastating. But if Mike doesn't resign, I think you still go after Baker. And it kind of gives you a little bit more leeway to throw a couple more dollars at Baker Mayfield to bring him back because that money's not going to Mike.
That's right. That's a great point. You have all of a sudden you get about $25 million you were kind of, you know, earmarking for Mike that is now available. Maybe you get a big time pass rusher, right? Maybe you can go out there and say, all right, we're in the Brian Burns market then, or the Bryce Huff market.
Bryce Huff.
And then you cross that
list off.
You make
your team better. You make your overall team better, maybe not necessarily your offense. Thanks to Chooch for this $4.99 super chat. Says, any possibility of two interior offensive linemen in rounds 1 and 2? Drafting a combo of JPJ, Barton, Beebe, Frazier could save money that could be allocated for an edge like Bryce Huff.
Yeah, no, there's some logic in that. Remember, in 2015, Jason Light traded back up into the second round to get, after Donovan Smith, Ali Marpet.
Yep.
So he used two picks on interior, or I should say on offensive linemen.
Yeah,
in that draft. And Jason Light loves offensive linemen, and he's drafted plenty, and a lot of them have worked out. So I wouldn't put it past if Jackson Powers Johnson is there and he's the best player on the board, you take him in the first round because he certainly can be a starter at center or guard. He's played both. And then you just have that need crossed off the board. And then in the second round, if one of those top-notch guards is there, then you can draft him too. And all of a sudden, you've got Tristan Wirfs, a first rounder at left tackle. You've got a second round guard. You've got a first round center. You've got a second round guard in Cody Mauch and a second round pick at right tackle and Luke Getteke. And you have a ton of premium draft picks on that offensive line. So you should have enough talent if they all develop into having a really formidable unit from here on. So that would not be a bad investment, Matt, especially if you're putting a bunch of money into the quarterback position, Baker Mayfield, $30 million or more. Protect that investment.
And Jason Light's done this not just with the offensive line, but a couple of years ago he drafted, Carlton Davis and MJ Stewart in the same round at corner. So he'll do that. Even this last draft, granted they were rounds apart, but he went Yaya Diaby. And then Jose Ramirez later on. So Jason is very familiar with drafting the same position multiple times, various times in a draft. Thank you to Richie P for this $20 super chat, who as soon as I saw it, I started smirking. I thought it was very funny. Richie with this $20 super chat says, I'm going to light a candle. Yeah, thank you very much. I'm going to light a candle and a half eaten empanada at the Mike Greenberg. He says Greenwell, but I believe it means Mike Greenberg altar I have in the living room so he can get all of this offseason stuff done.
I tell you what, man, this is a guy who was charged with the responsibility of re-signing pretty much all of the Super Bowl starters right after the Super Bowl. And then last year, working on a tight, slim budget, having to eat all that dead cap money and, you know, look for value signings and cross your fingers that you get a Jamel Dean back at a lower price than maybe you thought. Same with Lavonte David. Go out and get a Baker Mayfield for $4 million and then put some incentives in that contract. So, yeah, Mike Greenberg has done a lot of heavy lifting. Seems like there's never been one easy offseason. Oh, and by the way, this year, you've got, you know, just your star players for free agency.
Your most beloved player in the last 20 years.
Winfield, Evans, Mayfield, Chase McLaughlin, right? You got to get him back. He's another great kicker for this team. Lavonte David. So I'm sure Mike Greenberg is waiting for that one offseason where he can kind of relax and take a deep breath. But not this year, Mike. Sorry about that.
Yeah, not going to happen, unfortunately. Thanks to Cali Bucks for this $4.99 super chat. Says, all things considered, his value will be driven up by the bidders. Mayfield at 35 to 40 million. That is crazy. Balls batted down, struggles to see down the field. And yeah, see, like that's the problem with just free agency negotiation overall. Because you look at Baker's season, my initial thoughts are like, great season by Baker. You look at the yards, how he led the team, how he ingratiated himself with the team. But and Shaq Barrett kind of talked about this in his going away press conference, where it's like, hey, I like you, but I don't like you for this much. So then it's just human nature. You start kind of like nitpicking at the things that Baker did poorly. And it's true. He does get a lot of balls batted down. He can't see over the line of scrimmage the way a 6'5 type of quarterback would. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's why I love Baker. I just don't love Baker at $40 million per season for what he gave the Bucs last season, which was really good, but not $40 million worth.
Here's the interesting caveat. The Buccaneers may not use the franchise tag on Antoine Winfield Jr. tomorrow. They may wait to decide who they're going to use it on. Could it be Baker Mayfield with the franchise tag? Well, we talked about maybe that not committing more than a short-term contract or only 1 year's worth of guaranteed money. Well, that's what a franchise tag is. The problem is the franchise tag for quarterbacks is going to be a little over $36 million this year. So that's about $6 million more than the Buccaneers would want to pay, but you're
for
not
one season. Honestly, Scott, for one season, I'm on board with it because
I am too.
You say, all right, Baker, you got to prove it again.
Yes.
And then you're going to get the big contract no matter what, because even if the Bucs don't re-sign him after that season, he's going to get that money. $36 million I can deal with for one season. And if he plays poorly, you don't re-sign him. And then you can decide what you want to do at quarterback.
Yeah.
The other side of it though, is if he plays really well, and you want him back, you're going to have to pay more next season than you right now if you're trying to re-sign him. So it definitely is a gamble, but I don't think it's a bad gamble to have.
Especially if Mike Greenberg, Jason Light, they go to the combine next week and they hear things in the halls, you know, like the whispers that there are going to be a bunch of teams in. And this is kind of what the market's going to be if we're talking close to $40 million per season, $38 million, then guess what? $36 million is a bargain. Then you franchise him and you say, Baker, do it one more time. And and remember, new offense with Liam Cohen. And then, you know, the great news is you definitely have Baker Mayfield here for one more year. That probably impacts Mike Evans wanting to come back. All these decisions we're talking about are financial ones, Matt. And, you know, if you have any question about what you're going to do with your finances and your money, especially when it comes to retirement, lean on Amuni Financial.
At Amuni Financial, we help you live in the now.
Congratulations. We're so happy for you.
Thank you.
And even though the now may feel very different, you still need to plan for the future.
How's retirement treating you?
Oh, just fantastic.
I know I say it all the time, but you really got to come up to Colorado.
Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah.
We can help you develop that plan to keep you on track so you can still prepare for tomorrow, today. Amuni Financial. Plan ahead. Stay ahead.
All right, folks, coming up this week on February 22nd at noon Eastern Time, there is an absolutely free cybersecurity webinar. All you have to do is sign up for it to attend. It features the speaker, Josh Moulin, who has over 20 years of experience in cybersecurity. Why should you attend this event to understand the scope of cyber threats for your business or even for yourself? Because there's a lot of online scams, especially targeting seniors. You can identify common scams and also take practical protection steps. There's also going to be a Q&A about cybersecurity after the webinar. So here's what you need to do. You need to go to immuni.com. That's immuni.com/cyber, or give them a call at 1-800-868-6864. That's 1-800-868-6864. Again, an absolutely free Immuni Financial cybersecurity webinar on February 22nd at noon Eastern Time. It's free. You don't have to be an Immuni Financial customer to sign up for it. And it sounds like a great event. And Immuni Financial wants to help everybody when it comes to understanding the perils of cybersecurity and how to protect yourself. Folks, tomorrow we talked about the franchise tag. We've got a whole show dedicated to the franchise tag.
Yes.
Will Antoine Winfield get it? Or should Baker Mayfield or Mike Evans get it? We'll talk about that tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And we also have got tons of content coming out on PeterReport.com, Matt.
Yes, we do. So please follow us on all of our social media on X, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Pewter Report. Our YouTube channel is Pewter Report TV. Please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, trying to build those subscribers up. Leave a comment after the episode is done as well. So appreciate all of you guys for watching. By the way, got the super chat from Meets McGee. Thanks for the $2 super chat. My new favorite wide receiver is Xavier Leggett. Thoughts? We spoke about him a little bit early in the show. I like his size, like his athleticism.
Yeah.
And Brian McClendon, the new wide receivers coach, is quite familiar with him as well.
He coached him,
yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us on today's show. Great episode to start the week and try to do even better tomorrow. For Scott Reynolds, I'm Matt Matera saying thanks, everybody, for watching. And we'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. for another edition of the Pewter Report podcast. Out.
Out.